What's that sound? Oh, it's just my MailChimp guy coming in here right now to tell me some good news. What do you got, MailChimp?
Oh, MailChimp is an easy-to-use marketing platform with a name that might make it sound like you only do email.
Well, yeah, MailChimp, it sounds like you only do email. I know that I love MailChimp because I use How Did This Get Made's mailing list all through MailChimp, and it makes everything so easy to use.
Oh, but did you know that they do about everything? That's right. We help businesses grow, like ads and postcards and landing pages and audience management tools and automations and reports and more.
Whoa, MailChimp, that sounds amazing. I guess you could say that MailChimp grew so much, they actually outgrew their name.
Good one.
And their marketing tools can help you do the same. Well, you know, MailChimp, I really appreciate you coming in here.
Ooh, can I just say one thing?
Sure, MailChimp.
Go to MailChimp.com and sign up for free and see how using MailChimp can help grow your business. MailChimp, they do more than email.
Okay, that's MailChimp.com. They do more than email. Hey everybody, it's our 200th mini episode. That means 200 minis, 200 mains. We've done 400 How Did This Get Mades, and today's episode is all going to be about your favorite How Did This Get Made memories. People, it's a clip show. Hit the new theme.
How is that baby being nourished in a man's chest torso? It makes no sense.
Like a rhinestone vest while whipping Justin to Kelly.
If you need me to come and double team, Dolly Parton with you, you give me the word.
He's a little gay and she's a little gay.
Or maybe see a burlesque show with Nick Crow.
Hey Alice, welcome to Wonderland.
terrible line.
Take a boat with speed to hit the cruise control.
What kind of perfume looks like a can of mates?
Honestly, when she finds that grenade, she didn't think it was perfume.
J-Man, Big Paul, and the beautiful jewel. Wanna take you from the globe all the way to the room.
Where was Gooby all along?
Like some sort of public domain Muppet.
Oh, hi, Johnny. I didn't know it was you. Here you go.
That's me.
Hi, Doggy. You're my favorite customer.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
Brandon Games and Street Fighter helped to blow off steam.
So he's Rudolph in this scenario?
Well, his name is Rudy.
What exactly is a Street Fighter? Okay, so, like, there's...
Just a sucker punch the hard life of Timothy Green.
Don't go see this movie ever.
I consider you guys my friends, but...
Actually, I think I love this movie.
Tornado, Birdemic, how we staying alive.
From what I know of tornadoes.
June, you're kind of wrong and kind of right.
I'm done.
You don't know some of the tough guys in Hollywood. You know, it's like John Cusack.
This movie is why they attacked us on 9/11.
Why is it that they were just trying to get the planes over here to see it?
Yeah.
I loved every second of it.
Our podcast could be your life.
Drop that zero and get with the hero.
The bad Jim Funny looking kind of nice.
When he was evil, he was hot as fuck.
Wait,
I was shocked.
Here's a real question for you. How did this get made?
Oh my goodness, what an amazing opening theme. That was actually put together by our engineer Devin, and I just love it so much. It actually reminds me of so many moments from the show. And that's a good primer for today's episode, because what we're going to be doing today is looking back at some of my favorite moments, some of your favorite moments of the show. Jason is even going to sit here for a couple minutes, answer some phone calls. We're going to hear what your five favorite episodes were, what your favorite catchphrase is, what your least favorite movie is. We're going to go from Twitter to Facebook and on our Earwolf message boards. And I just want to say the whole reason why this show has existed for 400 episodes is because of you, the people who listen, the people who tell other people to listen, the people who've been here since the beginning. I love checking out the message boards. I love seeing what's going on there. I love the fan art. And I know it sounds cheesy and lame to say, but your excitement in hearing the show brings us so much excitement. We've reached out to you, we've talked to you, we've seen you at our shows, and we hope to continue doing this for as long as they will let us. And we just, we thank you. We would not be here without you, and we are still doing this show because, in a large part, you keeping it alive. So thank you. And now, without any further ado, let me tell you what we're going to be doing today. Yes, it's a mini episode. We're going to do all that mini episode stuff, but it's all going to be in celebration of How Did This Get Made? I'm hosting it, which is a little bit weird, but bear with me. I will pat myself on the back throughout this episode. But before we get started with a retrospective, let's talk about next week, okay? We are going from Action Jackson to Action Johnson. That's right. Dwayne The Rock Johnson in the movie you probably didn't see, but you definitely saw the poster for. I'm talking about Skyscraper. That's right. Last week we saw Action Jackson. This week we're seeing Skyscraper. IMDb describes it as a security expert must infiltrate a burning skyscraper 225 stories above ground when his family is trapped inside by criminals. Take a listen to the trailer.
You ever miss it?
I haven't touched a gun in 10 years. After what happened that night.
FBI, show me your hands!
I just put my sword down, you know. Without that bad luck.
You're gonna be okay.
I never would have met Sarah. I never would have had my kids.
Daddy loves who?
Me.
Daddy loves who?
Me! Me!
I love you.
You matter.
After your security assessment, what do you think of the building?
The Pearl is the most advanced super tall structure in the world. It's a breathtaking achievement.
But?
No one really knows what would happen if things go wrong.
Hello, boys. Let it burn.
The 96th floor is on fire.
Sarah, listen to me. The fire is not going to stop. Keep going up. Don't stop. Don't look back.
Okay. Get back.
Whoa, 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 whoa. You don't understand. My family's in there.
Turn around.
How did you get in the building?
Jumped off a super crane.
All right, you can watch Skyscraper on Amazon Prime, YouTube, Google Play, and Vudu from only $5.99. All right, so we asked you to share some of your favorite fan memories. I am joined by Jason Mantzoukas. Jason, welcome.
Paul, thrilled to be here.
We had people call in with...
On the Paul Ass line?
Yes. Well, that's for a Stitcher Premium show, which is very... exciting to me right now. We're exploring what we're doing.
We're exploring on that ass show.
But this is the Paul Ask ASK line. And I've opened it up to all of us this week.
Great.
So this is Emily from San Diego.
Cool.
Hi, Paul. This is Emily from San Diego. And congratulations on your 200th episode. We have so enjoyed listening to you guys. Just love it every week. And I just wanted to share a little memory. We have a 3.5-year-old, Rory, and he, when he was really little, got to listen to the pod when we were in the car together. We were like, well, you know, he probably can't understand it. It's no big deal when there's, you know, swear words or whatever. And he got a little bit older. It's kind of in that zone where you're like, well, can he understand? Probably not. No big deal. Wasn't really like listening to much or whatever. And then one day, I don't know, he was maybe like 1.5 years, something like that. We weren't even listening to the pod. We were listening to like NPR. And from the back seat, Rory goes, "That's fucking bananas."
So there we go.
Oh, yeah.
We did it. We did it.
That's a victory for me. That feels like a real victory. I'm like, the fact that I'm impacting the youth positively is great. Thank you, Emily, and your child.
All right, this is Pam from Rhode Island.
Hi, Paul and the gang. Happy 200th episode. This is Pam from Rhode Island. I was calling with my favorite memories, which obviously number one is when I asked the first question in the Second Sight show and with my I Heart Jason shirt, and Jason told me he loved me in front of his family in the audience. So there's probably some Greek thing that says we're like engaged now or something. So call me Jason. But other than that, June trying to figure out what a Street Fighter is ranks up there. Jason reenacting the monologue from Never Too Young to Die and the whole Face Off episode, entire thing. But also thank you for bringing movies like Miami Connection, Never Too Young to Die, and A Night in Heaven into my life. so that I may share them with so many people that need to see them. So here's the 200 more. Thanks, guys.
Jason, is that your wife?
Thank you, Pam from Rhode Island. Thank you for making that homemade shirt. I love it. I do. Listen, I'm not going to lie. I love when people have our shirts on at the shows when we're out in the world, you know, like have like some of the shirts that we have available. But I love it even more when people have made their own shirts for us, whether that's this woman's I Heart Jason shirt or other people have come with different themed shirts to either the show or to us. I love that. Please, more arts and crafts for the live shows, everybody.
Yeah, we love a good dressing up. I would say that...
And I'm sorry, to answer Pam's question, yes, because of a Greek thing, I do believe we are now engaged.
Wow, this is a big day for
huge
us.
Announcement.
Huge
announcement.
Jason, we've been doing this show for 200 episodes.
Yeah.
What is your favorite memory of doing the show?
Wow, that's a good question.
It doesn't have to be like a bit. It's just like...
I mean, I will say like the things that I love the most about this show, because, you know, we've been doing it now 200 episodes, and those 200 episodes have spanned the last 7 years, six, 7 years.
Long time.
And
we've had... June and I have had 2 children.
Yes.
We didn't have any children when this thing started.
Amazing.
And one is 4.
That's wild to me. the idea is, for me is like, I've got memories that are like, oh, this show was good, or I remember that, or people talk about this show. But for me, it really is the moments that I remember are the genuine moments that we've had together.
Yes.
Just laughing and cracking up and really, really like from the Pam just mentioned the What is a Street Fighter?
Yeah.
Is like just an amazing moment.
Where does the butt start?
Where does the butt start with Steve Agee was making me laugh. That made me laugh. I remember feeling better.
Yes.
After, like, I remember that lightening my mood. And that's what I was saying earlier tonight, before we started recording today. I was like, I'm so stressed. I'm running around. And I was like, I'm so excited that when I get to the studio, everything is going to be crazy. But when I get to the studio, I know that Paul, June, and I are going to laugh and have a great time.
That's I feel.
That's exciting. And those are the moments that I really love. I love doing the shows. I love it. Antagonizing the audience, and I love all of the fans and all of the interactions we've been having with them in the last bunch of years. But really, this show, the reason I think we're still doing it, the reason I care to do it still, is like the three of us just sitting and like man-woman scene recently. Man-woman scene was like so funny to me.
Well, but that's the thing about the show that I can't really articulate, because if you're not doing it, I don't know if you feel it. It's just that it is, I can remember the Seth Rogen episode, which was like our last live show, and then remember something from when we first started recording and just laughing about like old dogs. And I'm like, oh, I still have the same amount of joy in looking at these movies.
And I'm still so delighted to be doing it with you guys.
Yes.
And I do think like that's what... You know, listen, like what we're doing is we've not done anything that hasn't been done before.
No.
We're not done, there are other podcasts out there that do what we're doing.
100%.
You know, but I think what I love about our show, and what I think is what the fans like about our show, is I love talking to you guys.
I mean, we recorded an episode before we recorded this, and just being in here, I was like, oh, it's so
lovely.
Yeah.
It was the middle of a very stressful morning, and now this has kind of reset my whole day.
I
will be like, oh, great. Because I just sat here with you guys and cried laughing for an hour.
Well,
you know?
We went out to the boards, our amazing boards that have been really growing and been with us, which I go to a bunch to see what people are saying about the show. And this is someone's favorite clip, Jason. I'm going to play it for you right now.
Okay.
If Keanu Reeves was at the mailbox and put his dick inside it,
would his dick come out 2 years later?
Would it be a younger dick?
And would hers be an older vagina?
Oh,
it'd be
so
older dick. Because he'd put it to the future.
If he put his penis, if he put his penis in the back of the mailbox, and she put her ass to the front of the mailbox, and they both put down the red flag at the right time.
I need to see that movie.
Could they have through time?
Could they have, like, yes, a timeless sexual encounter?
Imagine if they could have, but his penis isn't too big enough.
His dick is as long as a normal mailbox.
He's just been sort of poking off the tip.
The scene in the movie, and it was just her ass. And not, just missing.
Just
missing.
That's so sad.
Are you doing
Please.
It? I'm doing it. Are you doing it? I'm doing
I've
it.
I've literally got my
What's
ass
What's wrong?
As
Why isn't
that?
It working?
That is from Watch Out for Snakes.
That is The Lake House.
The Lake House with Aisling B, who was on the show a few times. It's so fun.
So funny. She just had she's one of the Netflix comedians' yes. 15-minute specials on Netflix that just came out recently, and it's a very funny episode that is worth tracking down.
Yeah, she's in a bunch of good stuff and some dramatic stuff, too.
Oh, yeah.
Very, very cool. All right, great. Thank you, Jason.
Thank you, Paul.
Enough of our yapping. Let's hear more from you. This is from Gigtastic. They wrote that their favorite moment was the moment in Howard the Duck where June is trying to prove that Howard tried to fly. And when he does, she screams, there, right fucking there. I love how triumphant and vindicated she is. It was everything. Well, let's take a listen to that moment because I remember it only live. Let's see how it plays.
All we could have had
so
much
more. Here's another weird thing about Howard, though. They established that he can't fly, that ducks.
And can't swim either.
He can't fly and can't swim. But in the beginning of the movie, when he first lands on Earth, he does try to fly.
Excuse me?
Guys.
Describe it, please.
There's a moment where Howard, with his hands, tries to fly along the street. He flaps his hands a number of times as though he's going to take off.
I don't know.
Where and when?
Yeah, I don't know now. I don't know the time.
That doesn't happen because he can't fly on his home planet.
That's what I'm saying.
He doesn't fly anywhere.
I know, and that's why it was crazy that he tried to fly.
So do you think this was
some
sort of...
Don't you think he was maybe he was wet and he was like blowing himself up?
Yeah, I thought because it was raining, he was crying.
Yeah, like shaking off the rain.
No, I know that
maybe
moment.
He was cleaning his feathers.
I know that moment.
You think he was trying to fly.
I swear there was a moment he took both hands.
So do you think his journey is towards flight?
Oh, that's a really good question.
To being free?
That's a really good question. Is there any way, do you have the DVD in there and can we look for the moment when he tries to fly?
All right, I do have the DVD in here.
He's walking through the streets.
Okay.
He's just landed in Cleveland. It's after this.
Was that it?
Was that it?
That's not it.
Wait, so we found a shot where he flaps his arms and that wasn't
it? That's not it. I'm telling you, that's not it.
All right, we'll just fast forward.
When he's on the streets.
By the way, she's killing
him.
Wow, way to go, June.
That was great. I'm breaking my fingers.
Wow, wow, wow. June did it. You did it. June was right. June was right. He did try to fly. Too bad we'll have to edit that out for the real show. That is... I haven't listened to this show in such a long time. That was... awesome. I hope I'm not coming across badly by just saying that that was great things that I've been involved in, but that was more June than anything else. Taylor Ann Photo says that Sleepaway Camp is the golden statue of an episode. It should go down in podcast history purely for the 10 minutes they spend trying to figure out who is related to who. It's also the episode that I tell people to start on if they're just getting to know the show. Well, let's listen to a little clip from Sleepaway Camp.
Okay. So basically what happens is the sailboat flips over, the kids and the dad are in the water, and they've got to swim to shore.
Well, the sailboat flips over. One of the kids throws the dad out of the sailboat. Yeah.
And then
yes.
the dad calls
time.
Them schemers.
Yes,
you
schemers.
You schemers. But it's still all in good
by the
fun.
Way, yeah. But by the way, the dad is on the edge of a very small boat, no longer than like 5 feet.
Yeah,
and right. the kids are able to sneak up behind him without him noticing. And then just lightly tap him into the water. I mean, it's
he
the most,
fine.
It's the worst like scheme ever.
Right. He does like a Chevy Chase fall.
Right. Yeah. Right.
They are a real couple of schemers.
So then the schemers and the dad are in the water together. The boat flips over. I don't know why.
Yeah, that's so weird.
Don't know why. Then there's another man.
Yeah.
On the dock.
Oh, right. That guy is the best.
That is just foreshadowing.
Yes.
Okay, who says... Now this is where I had some questions. He says the doc is on the way.
Yeah.
The doc is
doctor.
On the way.
The doc.
Doctor. On the
way. As we establish later, the mother is a doctor through the wonderful line of, even though everyone knows I'm a doctor.
Because the mother is
How
giving
else
the kids
would you get that info
their own physical. Oh, my gosh.
Okay, then what happens is this...
Oh, I just put that together.
Yes.
That the doctor is the mother.
Yes. The mom, gives the kids her physical.
Yeah, I get it now. Okay. And he's basically warning the dad, because of what we learn later. He's warning it, saying your wife is coming back.
Right. Yes.
Got it.
Now... Oh, you guys. So that was his wife? That was his wife?
No.
Yes.
That was the man. That was the man in on the beach's wife.
Yeah, yeah. That was the man on the beach's
and
wife.
Those two, as I mean, like
no.
I don't want to give.
No.
Yeah, definitely.
The man on the boat is their dad.
Right.
Yes.
That is their wife. The man on shore, spoiler alert, is the dad's lover.
No, no. Okay.
What?
It is the dad's lover.
No, because that's her cousin. That the kids. All right. This is
Okay. Let's just break this down without. Okay. Because I
without
feel like
spoiling the ending,
we're dancing around. Yeah.
Okay, we got to walk to the end.
By the way, someone had to pitch this.
Yeah.
This is my understanding of the movie. Okay.
Yes.
Father and son and daughter are in the sailboat.
Yes.
Father's lover, a man, is on the shore.
Yes.
He's saying, hurry back to shore. Your wife is coming, the doctor.
Yes.
Your wife is coming. So he's like, oh, we got to go in. Okay,
That's where it's wrong. This is where... Oh,
and that's where you're wrong.
That's where you're wrong.
Really? Right there is where you're wrong.
Because the mother that we met, the creepy mom, that's Angela's cousin.
Nope.
Aunt.
Nope.
Aunt.
It's
aunt.
Angela's. Angela's mother.
I thought Ricky.
No,
Angela's
Ricky's
mother. Ricky is her cousin.
Ricky is her cousin.
That's what I'm saying. So Ricky is her cousin. So that's her aunt.
No, because, guys.
Because at the end,
guys, that's the misdirect. You're missing the misdirect. That's the misdirect. Okay. Can we talk about the ending? Okay. Well, no.
There's actually a great animation that someone made of that Sleepaway Camp discussion. You can find it on YouTube. This is from Cambert, who writes in all the time on our forums. Cambert, who actually listens all the way in Osaka, Japan. Did not know that. Cambert, I'm going to be in Tokyo in December. Give me some good places to go. I mean, I'm saying that not understanding the geographical distance, but I'm sure you've been to Tokyo. Anyway, Cambert loves... when Jason and I really pepper June with what she thinks about something. He also loves Paul's blockbuster stories. And anytime that Jason says, ladies, I'm single, they always put him in a good mood. I love to hear that. Let's go to the phones. This is Will from St. Louis.
Hey, Paul. This is Will from St. Louis. You know, one of my favorite episodes was Demolition Man. I have a question about it, though. So when Stallone is thawed, he makes a mention that while he's frozen, he had thoughts and feelings. So are we to understand that he had cognitive function while frozen? And if that's the case, wouldn't his brain have aged? I'm thinking this movie would have been even better if Stallone got thawed, had his huge muscles, but had the brain power of a senior citizen. Maybe you guys could write that script after an undercover. I'm thinking the title could be Dementialition Man. Thoughts? Anyways, love the show, and congrats on 200 episodes. Thanks.
Well... fucking A-plus phone call there. You had a joke. You were succinct. You did it all. You did it all. What is there to say besides great job, Will? I loved it. I love that the brain of a senior citizen is a superpower in your movie. And I love it all. Will, that's my favorite call so far. Let's hear from Molly, who has a call about her favorite guest on the show.
Hi, Paul. My name is Molly. Congratulations on your 200th episode. That is amazing. I've listened to every episode over and over and over and over again, and I can't wait to listen to the next 200 episodes. It's going to be amazing. So I was just going to say my favorite moments from each host, Paul. I love it when you talk about your childhood
and toys you used to get and how your parents were when you were younger. It's the best. June, I absolutely love hearing your theories on movies and how much they make Jason crack up. Those are like my favorite episodes. Jason, pretty much everything you say is comedy gold. And I have to say, out of all the hosts that you've ever had, and I know Jason is going to hate me for saying this, I mean guest hosts, all the guest hosts you've ever had, my favorite would have to be Pete Holmes. I absolutely love his dad jokes. I could listen to the 88 Minutes episode over and over again. I mean, it has Pete Holmes, Pete and June reenacting scenes, the best character name, Guy Lafarge. It just has everything. 88 Minutes is the best. So, with that being said, thank you so much for everything that you do. Hopefully someday, maybe my wish will come true and I'll end up on a mini episode. But if I don't, that's okay. Just wanted to say congratulations and keep doing what you're doing. Thank you. Bye.
Molly, your dream came true. You made it to a mini episode. And you know what? To give you a little salute, let's play a clip from one of my favorite episodes. This is where Jason kind of gets into our namesake film. Originally, when How Did This Get Made first came out, we had a poster that was the poster of Junior. So take a listen to Jason kind of trying to break down how Schwarzenegger could actually be pregnant.
How is that baby being nourished?
Okay, guys.
How is the baby being nourished?
Because
there's no amniotic fluid. The baby is not breathing. There's no umbilical cord. They just put an embryo in a cavity, like an empty cavity in his body.
Oh, now I'm understanding. At one point, did they say, oh, we'll put the baby near the intestine? So that was that the plan?
No, I mean,
that has nothing to do with it.
That was when it was too big and it got tangled in the intestines. No, there is no reason that the baby should be able to live, grow, and flourish in a man's chest torso, in a man's trunk. It makes no sense. But they explain so much science garbage in this movie up until the point where they should tell us a lot of science as to why this is happening.
And then none.
And why
and
then
they
working.
Give us zero. Yeah, that's what I mean. Why this is able to happen. Why the baby is allowed to grow in his stomach makes absolutely no sense.
She sort of posits that you could just like inject an embryo in anyone's arm.
In any wet hole.
Growing.
Well, to me, again, it's like, why did they have to go down that science rabbit hole? Why not just make it a magic movie and go, hey, he woke up and he's pregnant. Like, we don't know why. He needs to learn
a
lesson.
Well, then we'd have The Odd Life of Timothy Green.
You know what? Let's do one more phone call. And this here is from Liz from Brooklyn.
Hi, Jason, June, and Paul. My name is Liz. I live in Brooklyn. Congrats on 200 episodes. The show has meant so much to me. I've been listening to it since the very beginning, since moment one. And you guys have just been a constant for me, you know, something that's always there every week that can kind of ground me and make me smile, no matter how hard and stressful things get. My favorite moment was my most shocking moment of all of the podcast, and it is the Jack Frost episode. That is because that movie is a classic in my family's household, and we saw it in theaters and then, you know, immediately bought it, and we watch it multiple times every holiday season and cry and quote it to each other, and it, you know, it was our home's It's a Wonderful Life. And it never once occurred to me that it might be anything less than a fantastic movie. And the podcast really shook me. But I learned a lot. I got to look at things from a new perspective. You know, I obviously look at the movie very differently now. But yeah, it was a real experience just to kind of have your whole world turned on its head like that. I will say my favorite episode of the entire run is also from the Jack Frost episode, and I think you should totally play it on the minisode, and it is the second opinions section
of the Jack Frost episode. Those Amazon reviews from people for Jack Frost were real, real moments of humanity. Anyway, I love you guys so much, and thank you for all you do, and I cannot wait for the next 200. Okay, have a great night. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Liz. That was so sweet, and I'm so sorry that you were forced to watch that movie, but you know what? We're going to give you a little special treat. Second Opinions in that episode was one of my most fun Second Opinions, so take a listen to the Jack Frost episode.
All right, these are five-star reviews, cold from Amazon. This is from Shane. He goes, my dad was the exact same way. Music was his number one priority. I was third. Women were his second. He didn't die, but he might as well have. The last time I saw him, I was 8 years old, and it was Christmas Eve. I watch this movie every year around Christmas as I can remember.
Why?
Not because it's a good flick, but because I can relate. I mean, even the little things, like the fact that his dad is a chubby music buddy and that his mom's a blonde, just more similarities. A must-see for the entire family or anyone. Or anyone who's experienced a similar life.
A must-see for me.
Oh, my God.
That is fucking insane.
And you know what? I want to go to the phones one more time. To shout out someone who is a very important part of the show. When June was away shooting a movie, we found a perfect person to kind of fit in to this podcast. She took June's mantle, and this caller is saluting one of our favorite guest hosts.
Hey, Paul, congratulations on 200 episodes. I just wanted to share a memory to you guys about the time you guys almost killed me. I was driving my car. I was listening to episode 181, Free Jack. And the moment Jessica St. Clair said that her family in West Philly had Fabergé eggs, I lost my freaking mind. Hey, you guys are doing a good job. Just wanted to share that with you guys. Keep doing what you're doing. And here's to 200 more, guys. Bye.
Amazing actress, comedian. Please welcome Jessica St. Clair. Can we talk about Fabergé eggs?
Yeah, that is... You know what? In 80s movies, they're always stealing Fabergé eggs.
Risky business at
risky
a Fabergé
business,
egg.
Yeah.
There, I feel like there's been other Fabergé eggs. I feel like... But
when did we as a cult...
Eggs, do you know, like, our Fabergé eggs, they're not made of... They're not eggshells, right?
No.
Right, because
yeah,
that's crunch
so easily.
Yeah.
Like, and he's like, get out of my office, God damn it. I'm like, but, what?
Yeah, no, I feel like that would be a heavy...
Yeah.
We're Fabergé eggs.
I just catch it and then put it back on your desk.
Why did they...
Maybe a jewel falls
right.
out of it.
But it's intact. Yeah. That fell apart.
That fell... I mean, maybe... The side plot is that he bought some bad Fabergé eggs.
Yeah.
Why have we decided...
My kid made that!
Why have we decided that Fabergé eggs are the universal symbol of something priceless?
I think my relatives in South Philly had a couple of those Fabergé eggs.
Wait, no. What?
No.
Yes, right?
No.
Wow. With like the Limoges, you know, like,
they
like
did
the
not.
Shepherd girl.
With a shepherd girl? No, they had like Yadro figurines.
Yadros, that's what that, isn't that the same as a Fabergé egg? What are you? You're acting like seen one. Where have you seen a Fabergé egg?
Where?
Your family.
Never.
Like, imported them
no
from
family
Greece.
Has. Nobody has Fabergé eggs.
Yeah.
Have you lost your mind? You're saying like, oh, my family had Fabergé eggs and Hummel figurines. Same. Are you insane? That is categorically impossible. Fabergé eggs are
Google
something
it, Paul.
That
Google
only
I did.
How Fabergé fucking expensive is a Fabergé egg?
Were made between 1885 and 1917.
Okay.
They were made for the Russian czars, Alexander III, Nicholas II, as Easter gifts for their wives and mothers.
How many of them are in South Philly?
They
just a quick count. How many are currently
you don't know where
in
I come
South
from.
Philly?
All right. That's enough for some of our calls. Let's go to Twitter to hear what people have to say there. Adam the Spectacles writes that Maximum Overdrive is the perfect How Did This Get Made film. Completely insane and a terrible movie that's extremely entertaining nonetheless. The resulting podcast lives up to its potential, especially with the always terrific Andy Daly as a guest. Here, listen to Andy Daly on Maximum Overdrive.
It seems to me that the movie doesn't quite understand what is coming alive, because then I'd argue a sprinkler is not a machine.
Well, here's the thing. Like, I agree, a sprinkler is not a machine.
Well, now, wait a minute. Why is that?
Because a sprinkler, there's no electricity to turn on a sprinkler.
Yeah. That's not the requirement of a machine.
Wait a minute. Are you booing? Do you think sprinklers are electric?
They understand machines predate electricity.
No, because here's the thing. Like cars are controlled,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. Lawnmowers, controlled.
Makes
so
sense.
So it seems like anything that maybe has a motor. Anything that maybe
hair dryers.
Hair dryers?
How did that soda hair dryer get out of, like, what did the hair dryer do?
I think it strangled
the
her.
The electric
it strangled
knife?
Her.
The electric knife that, like, cuts the waitress?
That
is
waitress.
A bicycle.
That waitress.
Not a machine? Yeah, bicycle, not In a machine. In my opinion, a bicycle's a machine. Well, I guess that's the thing. Are we talking about things that have a microchip in them?
A gun?
A gun?
A gun is apparently machine enough to be controlled.
You're right.
No, that gun was being controlled by the machine that was that vehicle.
Wow.
Wait a minute.
That gun wasn't being controlled
so you
on its
think
own.
If that machine gun had just been
Wouldn't have
sitting
done a
on the ground,
damn thing.
No problem.
There's an arsenal under Dixieland, and
oh,
nothing
yeah.
happens to those guns.
True.
Well, here's the other thing. Just again, talk about how
I could do this for 1 hour.
Yeah.
Conservatively.
How it's all going to come down to...
Is fill in the blank a machine?
Well, because my...
No looking up the word machine.
All right, now let's go to Twitter. As we hear from Simon909, I love listening to Miss June Diane's concerns about the employment rights of monkey actors used in the film Monkey Shines. And... Jason's description of that classic love scene. You know what, people? It's not a Tuesday, but let's make it a two for Tuesday. Two clips from Monkey Shines back to back. Take a listen.
There was not one singular monkey playing that role. There were a bunch of monkeys. And they are monkeys. They are primates.
Sure.
Okay.
And thank you. Okay, so all of them were monkeys?
Yes,
okay.
All of them are monkeys.
Because I thought some might be little people in monkey suits.
I guess what I'm saying is by giving that monkey even a name, I have to say, even a name like, what's the
Ella.
Name? Boo.
Boo the actor?
Yes, Boo the actor. It's like, they're not actors.
Sure
they're
they are.
Monkeys.
How dare you?
They're primates.
This is so controversial.
I am
they're
I'm
primates.
So confused yes. about what is happening right now. I will give you the end of the movie.
Okay,
maybe
I, to
you
be fair,
what
to be
saying,
fair,
Jason,
I did
you're not actors.
I did 3 years at the Actors Workshop with an orangutan. Okay.
Yeah. I,
who was
teacher or fellow student?
No, student.
Okay, great.
We were in Death of a Salesman together.
Oh my gosh, I would love to.
I played
that.
Biff. He played Hap.
Oh my gosh.
Okay.
If you look no further than the scene, one of the best scenes of the movie, in my opinion,
sex scene.
So well, second
where he
best.
Just like eats
scene.
Her pussy for like an hour.
that was amazing.
Did we pull that?
You know, I wish
because I pulled it, nailed it.
We had a monkey rights shirt on TeePublic for a long time. No one bought it. Maybe we should have made a Monkey Shines sex t-shirt. By the way, TeePublic is doing a very special sale for our 200th episode. They're giving you big discounts. So just head to teepublic.com/stores/HDTGM to check out some of the brand new shirts we have, our Geostorm shirt and Scribbles. Speaking of Scribbles, by the way, I think that's a new kind of classic. Let's listen to how Scribbles came about from our Blues Brothers 2000 show.
It's so lazy, too, the way they deal with him. What's his name? Scribbles?
Yes. The answer for the rest of history is yes. His name is Scribbles. I know it, but I'm not going to tell you because Scribbles is literally
way
infinitely better. I wish the kid's name was Scribbles. The movie would be watchable if every once in a while they said, "Where's Scribbles?" When the strip club burns down, and he says, where's Scribbles? Or if they're like, hey, get Scribbles a PB&J at the strip club. Also, Scribbles don't eat that.
Well, the strip club, I mean...
Oh, boy. Put your stuff in the trunk. Open it. Uh-oh, Scribbles. And that, boom. That's a t-shirt right there.
Where's Scribbles?
Holy cow. Just the kid's image and Scribbles.
How about if it's just like the Blues Brothers, but then you just put like Scribbles in the center? Like Blues Brothers and Scribbles.
Here's the thing. From now on in all of history, if you can't remember anyone's name, Scribbles. Oh, hey, how was that date you went on with Scribbles. Scribbles? How was it? He really was a Scribbles.
I mean, it was better than Scribbles.
He had like a long, thin dick that just scribbled all over me.
You know, throughout the course of the show, people have been away doing movies, people have not been in studio, and there's one very special episode that I was so upset that June did not actually get to be a part of, and it was for a movie called Zardoz. It was a weird Sean Connery future film, and Gail M. from Facebook wanted me to play a clip from Zardoz. This is just me and June on our couch in our living room talking about Zardoz, and we get to hear a different side of June in this clip.
The basic, you know, you guys didn't really get into this, but the basic idea is just like, well, if you have forever, does anything mean anything? You know, if you don't...
That is actually one of your top 40 songs that you wrote. It's a beautiful song. Yeah, sing just a bar of it. How did it go?
If you have forever... Does anything mean anything? If you have...
Didn't mean to cut you off, sorry. Beautiful song.
You know, and that question was like, oh, God. It is a struggle. It really is. It's like, well, would you fall in love? Would you really want to create?
Right, there's no reason to do anything.
Yeah, we all know we're going to die, and that's a tough fact, believe you me.
Well, these guys said, like, we went to the moon. Nothing was there.
That's what I'm saying. Like, do we really want to live forever? And is dying the reason why everything's really so great and beautiful?
Well, you're really bringing it up here. Read another one of your notes.
Please, why didn't we record that? Can someone please make that into a track? I would love to hear a Zardoz pop song. A big thanks to Kawana M, who found Face Off through like a BuzzFeed listicle of great podcasts. She loved Face Off and then went all the way back to our first episode. And you know, this might actually be kind of fun to play our reaction to the opening scene of Face Off. I know a lot of people love our Face Off episode. So take a listen to how that episode started.
So if you don't know, for those of you who've never seen Face Off, and you should, it's about a criminal and a cop who switch faces.
Yes.
That is...
It is about... This is a movie. This is a movie. Guys, this fucking movie is great. This is a movie that begins with the murder of a child. This movie begins... with Nicolas Cage shooting a child with a sniper rifle.
Now,
and only
it was a mistake.
You know, for me, in the history of the podcast, we have stumbled onto things that we didn't even realize were right in front of our faces. And I think the memory that I always have is when we were watching Reindeer Games and we put something together that avoided all of us the entire film, and most of our discussion.
Yeah. You know what? I've never heard the expression reindeer games used.
Just in the song. That's
nope.
It.
I don't,
okay,
I,
so I kept on asking Rudolph. Paul. I mean, I must have asked like every 5 minutes, like, is reindeer games a thing? Like, are reindeer games...
And what would Paul say?
I said yes. You actually said yes.
I said, yeah, it's from the song, the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I knew that, but I never heard this... term or expression.
No, most people don't mess around at any time.
You guys have egg on your face
because I looked today and on Urban Dictionary, it came up. It goes, reindeer games refers to any fun activities which are enjoyed only by members of a clique. Which is often purposefully made obvious to anyone existing outside of said clique in order to make them feel inadequate and left out.
But Ben Affleck has no clique.
He has no clique. He's a man by himself.
Yeah.
By the way, so Ben Affleck.
So he's Rudolph in this scenario?
Well, his name is Rudy.
What? Yeah. What is happening?
Boom. Nailed it. Look at the symbolism.
No.
The joke's on us.
The joke is
What just happened? This movie just got interesting. That's the reveal. That's
this
the
is an amazing movie.
Holy shit, my mind just imploded. Are you kidding?
Rudolph. And do you know what his friend's name was?
Oh, no, wait.
Nick!
Nick! Man, I wonder if we can see what was Gary Sinise's name? Was even come
Gabriel.
In. Gabriel. All right, so the angel Gabriel doesn't come.
Was Charlize Theron's name Ashley, but her real name was
Blitzen.
Holy shit! That was how we just got there was unbelievable. I'm sure the audience was like 10 minutes ago, like, "Hey, assholes."
It was right in front of us the entire time. Reindeer Games is our usual suspects. You know, one of our first live shows was with Doug Benson, and we did the movie Roadhouse, and it started Jason's fascination with babies and taking babies. So this is a little clip from when a baby was brought to our first live show, which was Roadhouse. Take a listen.
By the way, it's his bar. He can do whatever he wants. And then he looks around, pulls out a pen.
Is there
and
a baby?
Yeah, it is.
Is there a literal baby in this show? Is there a teeny tiny baby that I just said vaginal discharge in front of?
We showed that teeny tiny baby a sex scene, and we've talked about vaginal discharge.
How old is the baby? Oh, yeah, now what? You're keeping your secrets.
Must be a pretty young baby if he refuses to answer.
One and a half?
One and a half.
One and a half, okay, that's too old. If it was still a tiny baby, I would
that
like to hold the
baby. Baby doesn't even know how old it is.
If you brought a tiny baby, please bring it up here. I would like to hold it for the rest of the show. Because I'm only going to say more horrible things, and it's only going to be funnier if I'm holding a baby.
Bring us your baby.
Because here's the thing. It's kind of weird if I said something, but then if I'm holding an infant and I say cunt punch,
it's fine.
It's going to be pretty fucking funny.
If just so you guys get a sense of the villain that Patrick Swayze has to fight,
I want baby, that baby.
Do you like this baby?
Give me your baby. You brought it. Offer it as a sacrifice.
Where is that baby?
We've got baby Wolverine.
Now that
the
lights are on, I'm gonna find you, baby. Don't you worry, baby. I'm looking for you. I'm coming for you, baby, wherever you are.
Where is that baby?
Where is this baby?
Where baby's is over it? Here.
God. Where is your
baby's
baby?
Right over here.
Where
it's
is
over
this
here.
Baby?
Right, baby has on the aisle.
Give me your
so
baby.
Scared.
We're going over.
I see you, baby.
Very cute
I'm
baby.
So scared.
I see
very
you, baby. Baby. Oh my God, shaking what a cute ass. Baby.
Don't oh ever God. Date Ben Gazzara when you get older. That's right. If you bring a baby to the show, Jason will take it. We just did it in Denver, and you look. Bring your babies. Please bring your babies. All right, people, it's time for a commercial break. And when we come back, your favorite 5 episodes, your most hated movie, and your favorite catchphrase all coming up in just a second. People, do you need an extra burst of energy, but you don't want to wait in line to go grab an espresso? Oh, my goodness. Going to the coffee shop, dealing with those baristas, waiting for them to draw their little stupid designs on your coffee. No, you don't have time. You're a busy person. You need to get out there, and you need to do what you do best, okay? Whatever that is. Espresso Monster is a premium blend of smooth espresso and cream packaged in 8.4-ounce can. It's just the right size and perfect for when you are on the go. That's right. Each can has 3 shots of espresso blended in with European milk, just the way Italians do it. And let me tell you something, people. at 150 to 160 milligram of caffeine per can. It's sure to give you the energy that you need to conquer the day. Espresso Monster has two delicious flavors to choose from. That's right, espresso and cream and vanilla espresso. Produced in Denmark and the Netherlands, Espresso Monster is made with freshly brewed espresso coffee, hormone-free milk, that's a good thing, and a unique energy blend that's complete with taurine and, guess what, B vitamins. I talk about this all the time. When I first got these cases, I gave them out to people that I work with, and I also brought them to one of our live shows. And I will tell you that people literally wrote back and were like, that was delicious. And people in my office are like, those are amazing. Can we get more Espresso Monsters? I've drank them too, and they are amazing. So I'm talking about good flavor, and I'm talking about great energy without that kind of jittery kind of, none of that. It's just smooth, simple. Think of it like an Italian with a lot of energy, like me. Anyway, close your eyes, take a sip, and enjoy Espresso Monster today. All right, welcome back, people. All right, so we asked you what your five favorite episodes were, and let's jump into that right now. Number five. Do we have a little drum roll? Yeah. Number five, Deep Blue Sea. Oh, I love Deep Blue Sea. This is with Evan Goldberg. Take a listen.
So she says, so Saffron Barrow says to these guys, she talks about her dad and his Alzheimer's.
Yes.
And she says, every time, he would just like ask where his wife was. And she says, every time I told him she was dead, I had to watch him take that info like a car wreck. Hey, stop telling him that.
That's what I thought. Why? Why is she Groundhog Day-ing him?
Why?
No reason to Groundhog.
Don't keep telling him.
Well, this brings up an important point.
Just say, she's out at the store. She's at the store.
Saffron Burroughs, who this movie is ostensibly about, is the villain of the movie.
Yeah.
Right?
She's
the worst. She's like a relentless, she's a Terminator in this movie. She's a sociopath. She's like so self-absorbed and crazed. She completely causes the death of every character in this movie.
Absolutely. She's got to protect her floppy disks, man.
No,
none
you
of that
know
shit's
what?
Backed
I
up.
Didn't think they looked that floppy. They look good. Right? Guys, if you're wondering if a woman with a visible camel toe electrocutes a shark in this movie, she does.
So good. I wish the Meg was Deep Blue Sea. Number four, Con Air. Roll the clip.
I do have some notes.
You have pages of notes.
I have pages.
For the listeners at home, you have pages of notes.
I have pages and pages of single space notes.
I have a lot of notes too.
Yeah.
Didn't take them. Just loving this movie.
Because I would argue that the one thing the movie doesn't do is make sense.
Correct.
I think it is enjoyable to a certain degree.
Yeah.
But it does not make sense.
It adds up. This movie, top to bottom, T to B, guys, this movie adds up.
What I love most about the movie is I love most its subtlety. The fact that, you know, the characters are real, complex, three-dimensional, living, breathing human beings. With hopes and dreams and nuance and certainly not stereotypical. It may be the most racist movie since Birth of a Nation.
That movie is definitely one of those thank God it got made films. I mean, we talk about this all the time. I think we're going to try to do more of those in the podcast. Movies that are just so crazy, we just got to love them, like The Fast and Furious and, of course, Con Air. I mean, one of the classics. Number three, Geostorm! You know, we really have found a real interesting niche on this show, which is Gerard Butler films, and Geostorm definitely did not disappoint us. Take a listen.
I love Geostorm! Geostorm!
This is, it's a great movie, especially...
Geostorm! I would like for that to become a thing.
Oh.
I would like for people to just start screaming Geostorm in public and then not answering questions as to why you did it.
I feel like the proper response would be to yell back kumite. I feel like that would be the perhaps, call and response.
Perhaps.
I say Geo, you say Storm. Geo!
Storm!
Geo!
Storm!
That's great.
Yeah.
Geo Storm!
Geo Storm! That's right. That's right. This is a thing now.
Yes.
I was excited.
If you want to tape your friends screaming Geostorm in public, just tweet it to us at whatever our Twitter is.
Get those Instagram stories going of just yelling Geostorm in crowded places.
In crowded places, and maybe there should be some sort of, like what Colton just did, like go down on one knee or something. Or
I think point it up be, to the satellite array.
I think point up to the sky. I think you should have to get higher. I think you should. Everybody should stand on a chair,
on top of something.
Point to the sky, and scream Geostorm. Yeah.
And then if you have like, if lightning. You're with a friend, one of you should be on Earth and one of you should be in the moon. Like so, you have, maybe like you have a balance.
So you're the brothers. Right. So you're the brothers. Separated.
A Geostorm, and then someone points that
Geostorm with a bro.
Geostorm, and then you're like Geostorm.
This is our Baba Booey.
Number two. I know we've already talked about this film a little bit. It's Sleepaway Camp. Number two is Sleepaway Camp. But, you know, if you thought we were done trying to figure out who's related to who, you're wrong. Take a listen to another clip of us still trying to figure it out.
Holy shit, it's crazy.
That monologue, though, actually, when you read it, answers a lot of my outstanding questions.
Okay, so from that monologue, we're to understand that the man on the beach was her husband.
Left.
Yes, thank you, Zach.
Left.
Yes, but left was her husband, left her, but left her.
Left her for the guy.
So, yeah. So the
right. By the way.
The guy on the beach was married to Martha, you're saying?
Yes. Yeah, I think so.
Oh, okay.
So wait a minute. Because I really want to understand this. So you're telling me that Martha, Aunt Martha, and dude on the beach were married.
Let's just call him Gary.
And Gary. Yeah. Aunt Martha and Gary were married, okay? And then dad of two little kids, Angela being the boy, Peter. Right. Peter/Angela and Peter. Little boy.
Little girl.
Oh, little girl.
Little girl. Sorry, little girl. Right, sorry. Little
guy
girl.
On boat.
Guy on boat with kids. So he was presumably married to somebody, right?
Yes.
They are gay lovers.
Right.
Yes.
Are they related?
But the kids are, she is their aunt.
She is their
aunt. Wait a second, I figured it out. The guy on the boat with the two kids and the guy on land, Gary, they are related.
That's what
and
I
it
said.
Was incest. Yeah, so
that's
it's in- so it's
brothers.
Incest. So that's why she gets custody because she is the aunt of that little girl boy.
I think she is the. I think it is incest in the sense that it's like through law.
That's I'm with that. Yes.
So maybe incest, so maybe the Martha well, and family, the kids. Family. So maybe Martha and the kids' mothers were sisters.
I don't know to this day. I don't think anyone knows, and of course. Our number one favorite film of all time that we have done on this show is Miami Connection. Oh, you made a good choice. And here is a little bit of a dramatic reading from that film with Jason and Jim.
Okay, I'm just going to dive straight into Jim's story of looking for his father.
Amazing.
An Oscar-winning performance.
This is
Jim.
A staggering monologue that I found to be hypnotic. I watched it many times. I found a clip of it on YouTube just so I could watch it only a bunch.
It's
phenomenal.
Jason, you want to take a crack at it, and then we can see how you stack up.
Let's see how we. Let's. Yeah, I feel like we all have it. Let's give it a.
I can share you with.
Let's give it a whirl. Oh boy. Okay.
Jim, do you have yours there?
I've got it.
All right, hold on.
So wait a second. YK Kim says, "Wait, I thought we were all orphans, right?"
Yes.
And then Jim goes, "That's my father."
He walks out of the scene. Yeah. Can we get a spotlight?
We should be the other three. Yeah. And bearing in mind that the three in the background is the fine line between trying to cry and trying not to laugh. That's what they do.
My mother was Korean and my father was Black American.
She gave me this picture when she was real sick. I was only 9 years old. They say that they loved each other and were real loyal. And real happy. But then when he finished military duty, he left. And we never saw him again. She told me to find him, but I didn't like him because he left us. But I knew one day when I grew up I'd find him, whether he was dead or alive. I sent a couple letters to the Defense Department. And nothing happened.
End scene.
End scene.
Oh my God.
Now,
That was a one, wasn't it? It was a one take.
It was. And I would like you guys to know that throughout the evening, each of us is going to take a shot at that monologue. And just so that everybody get a sense of how everybody...
That's my father.
Huh? Let's do this. Let's do this. JDR.
My mother was Korean. And my father was Black American. She gave me this picture when she was real sick. I was only 9 years old. They say that they loved each other and they were real loyal and real happy. But then when he finished military duty, he left. And we never saw him again. She told me to find him, but I didn't like it because he left us. But I knew one day when I grew up I'd find him, whether he was dead or alive. Then I sent a couple letters to the Defense Department and nothing happened.
Wow.
Oh, amazing.
So good. So good. But they can't trump the actors in that film. They were amazing. And of course, there was an honorable mention for Fast Five. Yeah, not a lot of Fast Five love on the boards. I mean, I don't think that people are against them. Just not a lot of favorite memories there. But an honorable mention for Fast Five. So I won't even play a clip. How about that? I won't even do it. Now, overwhelmingly, your most hated film that we've ever done? Well, it was Garbage Pail Kids. Oh, remember how gross they were? They were so gross. Hate those Garbage Pail Kids. You guys called it disgusting and unpleasant, so let's revisit it with John Lovett.
Jason, would you recommend this movie?
No!
No,
this movie is upsetting. It's gross. It's full of, like, a lot of gross sounds and gross things. I didn't like it. I didn't care for it. 5 stars?
Listen, I can't believe I'm going to say this. I know. This feels really weird right now, but I felt sick watching it. But, like, we've watched movies that are so painful to me, that are so excruciating, that I literally have to force myself and say, like, listen, watch this. People are coming to the show. Like, watch it now. Watch. And I can't. I can't watch it. This, at least for me, this is the worst review ever. I could sit and watch it.
She's right on the front cover. I could watch it.
I could sit.
I could sit
and watch it.
I could do it.
She was able to do it. John, would you like to plug anything? Obviously, you have...
I don't want anything I'm doing to be connected with this with this film, so I don't do anything.
I respect
this is the first
that.
Thing I've ever done,
I respect
and
it.
It's the last thing I will do.
Now, as we're kind of winding down, people always ask, how did the What's Its Mission catchphrase come up? Well, this is something that actually happened in my house, and we talked about it on the show, and I want you to hear how it all happened in real time. So take a listen to how What's Its Mission was actually born.
Jen, I really, like, your legitimate fears of technology are compelling.
Jen, tell Jason,
true.
Tell
I
Jason
mean,
what happened when
happen
I brought home
brain.
BB-8.
Oh, you brought home BB-8, the robot?
The robot from Star Wars. I got the little remote control.
First of all, I didn't know what the fuck it was. You just brought it home.
You didn't arrived. Know what it was, but you say that in a way that is like, even to look at it, you wouldn't conceptually understand what it was fundamentally.
I hoped that it was some
as if
sort
he brought
of character
home Gizmo,
figurine.
The gremlin.
All I know is he placed it on a floor and started roaming about, and I didn't like it.
You didn't
you
like
said
it.
To me,
like
what
it.
Was the first question you
I
asked?
I don't remember.
What's its mission?
What's its mission? What?
What's its mission?
What is it here for?
What's its mission? Did you, Paul, did you go to the book to be like, oh boy, let me look at this?
No, I did the worst thing, which is like, don't you worry about it. It will monitor our house.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
It's just here to take pictures. Oh my What's God.
I think I have a healthy skepticism.
And then you told me immediately as I took it off the floor, what'd you say to me?
I don't remember.
You said, get that the fuck out of here. I'm going to throw it in the garbage. You know, speaking of what's its mission, I think there's another phrase that's so synonymous with what's its mission, and it's what's a Street Fighter? And you know what? I'm jonesing for it. Let me hear some what's a Street Fighter.
Guys, I'm going to ask a really dumb question.
But yes.
And I may be revealing too much about myself, but what exactly, and I know you, I think you answered it a couple minutes ago, but what exactly is a Street Fighter?
Okay, so like there's a...
I don't know.
Oh my God. It's like underground. It's like underground fighting.
What exactly
fighting.
Is a Street Fighter?
Like, did you ever see Bloodsport? That's like a legitimate sort of underground fighting. Van Damme was also in that.
It's like Fight Club, but like it's like Fight Club.
It's like
right?
underground it's like, fighting.
It's
rings.
Like yeah. It's like dog fighting with humans.
So when they're in the cage, on, yeah. that is street fighting. When yes. they're in the cage,
yeah, I mean, I guess it could be on a cage street though. Fighting, but
I mean,
you know.
Yeah, street fighting is like sort of like what. Remember when we saw the Mike Tyson show? He yeah. said that he would do street fighting. Like he would go, he would beat up like 30-year-old men in the street. Like okay. and people would get paid okay. money.
Great. So was the woman, the Asian woman,
Chun-Li.
Now is she a street fighter? I guess I just want to get a real handle.
In the video okay. game, they're all Street Fighters.
Right. But well, the video game, you would argue there's no other plot besides the fact that you pick a character and then you fight with them. And
yeah. So basically what it is it, I mean, the game is a fighting game, and they just populate it with all of these characters who have different fighting styles, you know? So there
like
are
Mortal
there
Kombat
is,
yeah. like that, too.
There's a boxer. There's okay. Kung Fu guys. There's Chun-Li, a ninja.
Like, Chun-Li used to do a cool thing with
I
her leg.
I guess here's
or
my blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, she had a speed kick.
Yeah.
John, here's my problem with it, though. Those types of fighting, though, would they normally be found on the street? No, see, this is what I'm not understanding.
Well, in the game, most of the locations are outdoors. Some of them are streets.
Yeah. I know in the game, but I guess what I'm saying is...
The movie is not trying to document an actual thing that exists.
Right.
The movie okay. is trying to approximate a video game.
Well, the right, movie is also... Well, hold on.
Then I'm asking about the video game.
The movie is also not good. It's not a good representation of Street Fighter.
Oh, it's okay. not?
It's as if...
I'm just kidding.
I love it. I love my wife. And what better way to end than... on the two questions that have defined this podcast, what's its mission and what's a Street Fighter? Again, thank you all for listening to this trip down memory lane. Hopefully we'll get to do 200 more for you. If you like the show, and I if you're listening so far, I hope you do, follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/HDTGM. Follow us on Twitter at HDTGM. Rate and review the podcast. A big thank you to our engineer, Devin, who found these clips, cut that theme, dug through all of this stuff. Cody, who put together this amazing mini episode. She's been producing this show now for the last couple months and has just been killing it. We have a powerhouse team here at Earwolf, and we love them all. A big thanks to Avril Halley, who's cut all those clips that you hear in every one of our episodes. Nate Kiley, who does research on every one of these shitty movies. Of course, July Diaz, who listens through every one of our live episodes and cuts out all the boring parts. We love doing the show. Please remember to rate and review us, sign up for our mailing list, and we will see you soon. or actually next week, for a little movie we like to call Skyscraper. Well, that's our show. And remember, when you're on the go and you need some energy and you don't have time to wait in line, grab an Espresso Monster. Espresso Monster is a premium blend of espresso and cream made with freshly brewed espresso coffee, hormone-free milk, and a unique energy blend complete with taurine and B vitamins. Each can has 3 shots of espresso, and they come in 2 delicious flavors, vanilla espresso or espresso and cream. Close your eyes, take a sip, and enjoy some Espresso Monster.
Join me, writer, producer, and actor John Levenstein, as I reflect on my life in show business. At John Levenstein's retirement party, I'll share memories, rehash old decisions, and resolve disputes while creating new ones. Me and my co-host, Mary Kobayashi, revisit the wildest moments of my career with the help of old friends from Arrested Development, The John Larroquette Show, Kroll Show, and Portlandia. You'll hear from Kate Berlant and John Early, Karen Kilgariff, Jill Soloway, Nick Kroll, and Paul F. Tompkins. The list goes on and on. John Levenstein's Retirement Party is out now. Subscribe now in Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.